Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to WhatCulture.com's movie film podcast with myself here, Gareth, and the always entertaining Ori. And hey. We are here today to talk about something awesome that's happened over the last week, something incredible that I kind of forgot was happening, didn't really put much stock into it happening. Then I woke up on, I believe it was Friday morning, and the Disney 2020 Investor Day just decided to break the internet, didn't they? They just released and announced a ridiculous amount of projects that are going to be coming over the next couple of years. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be going down on Disney Plus, a lot of stuff which hopefully will be premiered in cinemas at some stage in the future when this horrible just thing that's been causing chaos all over the world is in the rearview mirror. And we're just going to talk about a few of the things that we're particularly excited about. Obviously, we will just know everything at some point, but there's so much we can't spend too much time on everything because we will be here until next year's Christmas. There's that much stuff. So I think the first thing we should talk about, Ori, in my honest opinion, something that I'm incredibly excited about, is the Fantastic Four movie was officially announced.
Finally.
Like, how do you feel about this?
I'm looking forward to it. I feel like everybody's idea of a great Fantastic Four movie required Marvel to be more heavily involved than its previous Fox predecessors. I mean, we've had some letdowns with Fantastic Four. It's Marvel's first family, and it should be done correctly. And I think if anyone's going to do it correctly, apologies, it's going to be Marvel. So I was happy to see that. So many years I've seen so many people cast in their mind who they think should be in the Fantastic Four, particularly with Mr. Fantastic himself. You already know who I'm talking about.
He's been cast
so many times. Yeah, go on, say his name.
It's got to be John Krasinski, right?
There we go. It has to be. And hopefully so, we see some of these great castings or castings of that nature within the Fantastic Four movie. Do you feel John Krasinski the guy? Do you think that's going to be the case?
I think he's the guy. I think his wife's the girl, Sue Storm. I think you bring them both in together. Everyone's been just fantasy casting this, like you said, for some time. And it almost feels like they have been cast at this point, which is putting a lot of pressure on the MCU, because if they don't cast them now, everyone's going to be like, what? Perfect open girl is right there. And I also think it'd be a really fun swerve just to bring back Chris Evans as Johnny Storm. Do it. Why not? Come on.
That would be weird. That feels almost like a what if.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To be fair, it would be better as a what if. But we've seen the what if. So I think I'm just being a bit, I don't know, overly excited with that one.
It'd be cool. It'd be a nice little Easter egg. If he pops in there somehow, but not as Cap, but just someone else that we look at and go, we know why he did that.
Yeah. And then like John Cena was the thing. That's what I'm all about. Just as the wrestling fan, I just quite like to see that. But it's also worth noting that John Watts is officially confirmed as the director of this film. That is hugely important because if you know who John Watts is, he's the guy who directed Spider-Man Homecoming and Spider-Man Far From Home. So he's also directing the next Spider-Man, which seems to have every single person under the sun appearing in it. And this seems to hint at maybe the Fantastic Four could be introduced in that film. There was a little sort of hint in Far From Home because they had that Baxter building.
Yes,
like,
they did.
Shot.
I remember, yes.
Everyone was like, is that the Baxter building? Is that Oscorp? We're not too sure. But I think this now pretty much, it seems like a nice segue into the Fantastic Four if he's directing that one as well. So fingers crossed, we see some nods to the Fantastic Four to the Fantastic Four in Spider-Man 3 upcoming. Now, Ori, come on, let me know what are you excited about when it comes to these new announcements? There is so much we could choose from.
Well, like you said, there are loads, and for me, I'm going to start with one which is a bit more cute. Three words, and I was really surprised they were going to do this. I am Groot. Ooh. The little series of shorts that they were going to do. And I thought that was really cute. I'm a sucker for like really cute kind of films and really heartfelt things. And I feel like when we saw Baby Groot kind of go from it was in Guardians of the Galaxy, the second one. When we saw Baby Groot, they had a whole new character that was created off the back of a massively popular character and made him even more popular. So it was only natural for them to kind of monopolize on how do we create a load of a hype around Groot, and to see the series come out for that, a little kind of series of shorts that they were going to do. It's almost Pixar-esque with the shorts that they do, but they've made it around a very popular character. I'm looking forward to seeing what they'll do with Groot. I feel he was underused in some of the other movies outside of Guardians. It's actually a really interesting thing for me to see. It's not the most popular on the list. It's not my favorite, but it is one of the ones that I'm kind of happy that they saw potential in such an enjoyable character. And I can imagine all the kids who love Groot in the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to go crazy to see him on screen, just as well Baby Groot and hopefully into Teenage Groot and back into Big Groot.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with this, because there's so much potential. Like you said, they've done it in the past with the Pixar shorts, and a lot of the time they manage to create some really moving and just beautiful shorts using barely any dialogue, which is what I find super impressive when Pixar do that. And I think with Groot, because he only has I Am Groot as dialogue, he just hands himself over to that so easily, and it'll be an interesting way to explore that intergalactic part of the MCU through Groot's little crazy mischievous eyes. And it's gonna be one of those little, like you said, one of those little cute ones that maybe just slip through the cracks on this, because there's that many big massive announcements in terms of the new series, the new films. I'll just do a bit of a roll call on the Marvel side of things. And we'll just scream like really excited teenagers. We've got WandaVision, which is dropping. That is January 15th.
January 15th. Be dropping very soon. One month to go.
Madness. We've also got the Falcon and the Winter Soldier that finally got a full trailer. That will be dropping in March, so 2 months later after that. We've also got Loki, which is going to be coming in May 2021. Hey. Then got Hawkeye, which is going to be coming in late fall 2021. And the studio confirmed on this night that Hayley Steinfeld is going to be in that series as Kate Bishop, which is huge. It was something that we all kind of knew anyway, and that has now been officially dropped. What If, the animated series, which is looking, every time I see anything new about What If, I'm getting even more excited about, because it's the alternate one. Yeah, the trailer was so good.
It was fantastic. It really pulled at the heartstrings with the music and just how beautiful the animation was. It looks amazing.
And then we've also got three new series are going to be coming to Disney Plus. Yes, even more series are coming. We've got Ironheart, which is going to star Dominique Thorne, the engineering protege of Riri Williams. We've also got Armor Wars, which is going to examine one of Tony Stark's biggest fears. That's going to star Don Cheadle. He's returning. He's reprising his role as Colonel James Rhodey Rhodes. And then we've also got Secret Invasion. Huge, huge news this one, because we've got Nick Fury is going to be leading this series. Obviously, Samuel L. Jackson returning for the role of Nick Fury as the S.H.I.E.L.D. director. And he's going to be starring alongside Ben Mendelsohn's
great actor.
Shape-shifter. Skrull. Yeah, that's the one. Talos, he's going to be returning. There's no release dates for that one as of yet. And then, God, there's just so much with this. We've also got the announcement of, well, there was more casting updates, sorry, on Moon Knight, She-Hulk, and Miss Marvel. Notably, Tatiana Maslany. She'll be playing the lead role in She-Hulk. Matt Ruffalo is going to be returning as Bruce Banner. We've also got Miss Marvel. That's going to star, and I'm so sorry if I just butcher this name, that's going to star Iman Vellani. She's going to be Kamala Khan in that film. She'll also appear in Captain Marvel 2, which is huge. And you've also got... with this as well, but Sorry, there's just so much here. We've also got the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, which is going to come on Disney Plus. That's going to be in 2022. That's going to be directed by James Gunn. We've also got, like we all know by now, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, the Groot series that you mentioned. Black Panther 2 is not going to recast Chadwick Boseman as King T'Challa, and that's still going to be directed by Ryan Coogler. That's going to drop in July 2022. We're going to get a third Ant-Man film, which is called Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. That's officially in development. Peyton Reed's returning. You've got the original kind of Ant-Man cast, Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, Michael Douglas, and Michelle Pfeiffer. And also we're going to have Kang the Conqueror in that, which is huge. If you know your Marvel Comics history, he's a massive character, world-changing character. He's going to be, Jonathan Majors is going to be playing Kang the Conqueror. And then last but not least, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness will tie in everything in WandaVision, in the upcoming Spider-Man, just absolute chaotic multiverse film, which is going to be dropping very soon. That's going to be coming in the future as well. So a lot of Marvel stuff there.
It's a big roundup. Excited about. Do you know what's really interesting? I've noticed this after you said that list, and it reminded me that Marvel have a really, really interesting way of introducing some characters in ways we never get to really appreciate until much later. So you mentioned Miss Marvel, who we saw in the Avengers game. Mm-hmm. If you think about Marvel versus Capcom, I think it was Infinite, is when they started to really showcase Captain Marvel before the movie came out. Then you also had Doctor Strange in the third Marvel versus Capcom, just before Doctor Strange came out in the movie. They have really interesting ways of introducing characters. And when you mentioned earlier on about the Fantastic Four, even if it was only subtle and it could be the Baxter Building behind, in the backdrop of Spider-Man, Homecoming, it was Far From Home, I believe.
Yeah, it's always, yeah, that's the one.
It's always great to see just how intricate it feels that they've had these ideas to go, this is what we're ready to do. And it kind of really is a great testament to great writing and great ideas that they have in the studios at Marvel, that we can see all these little things that may be coming down the line. And then now we've come to this time where we've had these big announcements and Marvel is sitting there going, but we've had this in our head for about 6-7 years. And it's just great to feel like we can see the vision now.
That's what I love. It's the planting seeds aspect of Disney right now. And speaking of planting seeds, they also planted quite a few seeds for a burgeoning Star Wars universe over on Disney Plus. And I'm going to go down a different route with this one. I'm going to do the full roll call of Star Wars stuff that was announced, and then I'm going to talk about the biggie, in my opinion, the most exciting thing. So we've got Ahsoka, the new series that's going to feature Katee Sackhoff's Mandalorian character, and it's going to also star Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka. So that's huge. We've also got the Rangers of the New Republic, which is a Mandalorian spinoff. We've got the Bad Batch, which is an animated Clone Wars spinoff. I've also got Star Wars Visions, which is a series of animated short films celebrating the franchise. That'd be quite nice. I've got Lando, it's a spin-off centered on Donald Glover's solo iteration of Lando, which was so one of the best parts of that film, in my opinion. You've also got The Acolyte, which is a new series, which is going to explore the growing dark side powers in the final days of the High Republic era. You've also got A Droid Story, which is, I'm quite excited about this one, which is R2-D2 and C-3PO are going to return in a series which is going to introduce a brand new droid. We can never get enough droids. And then we're also going to get a Willow reboot of Ron Howard's 1998 film. We're going to get a reboot of that. But the biggest thing, in my personal, simple opinion, was the announcement of the return of Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Obviously, the last time we saw this guy, it was Revenge of the Sith. He got absolutely battered, as we all remember, at the end of that film. And the thing is with Hayden Christensen, he's had a rough old time when it comes to the Star Wars fandom, being accepted in the world of Star Wars. When those prequels did drop initially, he got a lot of backlash for those films, for his performance, for his role in the entire trilogy. But as time has gone by, the Star Wars fandom has warmed to this man, and I feel like he's finally getting a chance here to just rectify some of the flaws in not necessarily in specifically his own performance, but some of the flaws in the way the character was brought to life in the prequels. And I think he's finally going to get a chance here to strut his stuff, for want of a better term in this Obi-Wan Kenobi series. And Kathleen Kennedy, the Lucasfilm president, she had this to say about it. She said, Obi-Wan Kenobi begins 10 years after the dramatic events of The Revenge of the Sith, where he faced his greatest defeat, the downfall and corruption of his best friend and Jedi apprentice, Anakin Skywalker, who later turned into the evil Sith Lord, Darth Vader. Our fans will be thrilled that Hayden Christensen will be returning in the role of Darth Vader. And here's the key thing. This will be the rematch of the century.
Oi.
I'm excited, man. I cannot lie. This is how do you feel about this?
So, I mean, we both know that I'm not the biggest Star Wars fans. I do appreciate the movies. I haven't gone past the movies as much as I should do. I've only really started to just touch on Mandalorian. I've been too busy catching up on other things. And I said I do need to watch it because all I've heard is rave reviews of it. But I do remember the first three episodes and just the backlash that some of the people were giving to Hayden Christensen. And then I remember the reports of him saying how it was a hard time because of everybody coming at him. You've got some delicate characters that people love in terms of like Darth Vader and the development of his character from Anakin to Darth, and Hayden being just scrutinized for everything that everybody would have wanted. I remember seeing a report recently, a couple of days ago, I believe, where there was a comment he had said that, you know, it feels good to be back. He's been on such a great journey with Anakin Skywalker to Darth Vader. So at least I can say from that side, at least he's in better spirits of wanting to bring his elements to the character again, as opposed to feeling like what everybody else says, oh, I wasn't great at the beginning. And it's good that people are welcoming him. You said you were excited for it as well. Mm. I know there are many others who probably feel the same way. It's kind of nice to see them go in the direction of not recasting, but bringing back somebody who actually in the third film did pretty well to convince me of the conversion from innocent Anakin to a lot more of a darker Anakin going into Vader mode. So for me as an outsider watching in, I'm not going to pretend that I'm the biggest Star Wars man. I do enjoy watching them. I will enjoy seeing him in his role again. That's the best I could really give you on that.
That's a perfectly valid response to it, man, because it's one of those things. A lot of casual fans who've not necessarily been drowning themselves in the Disney Plus series and all the animated series and everything else won't be that attached to Anakin as a character necessarily, and they'll just remember Hayden Christensen for his role, and they'll be like, oh, he's coming back. I remember him. Yeah, I'll give this another go. And that's probably, it's not a bad strategy from Disney as well. But also it's worth mentioning here that Deborah Chow is going to be directing the entire series, and her credits, check this for a lineup. Her credits in the world of TV include The Mandalorian, Better Call Saul, American Gods, Marvel's Jessica Jones, and Mr. Robot. So I think it's safe to say we're in some pretty safe hands when it comes to Deborah Chow directing this series.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
So, Ori, let me know. What else we got? What else we got on the horizon that you were excited about?
So, in terms of announcements, do we have to keep it? It's Disney-centric. I'm going to say it's Disney-centric. It's not all of them are going to be Disney Plus-centric right away, but it kind of is. Pixar had a load of announcements that we love. Everyone knows that around me, that if you put a Pixar movie in front of me, then I will kind of get suffered and brought to tears. And some of the ones that they announced a few series that were going to be put onto their screen, which is onto their streaming service, which is great. And they'd announced a few movies. I'll tell you what we'll focus on, because it is Disney Plus. We'll go for the ones that are going to be streamable as soon as we can kind of get them on there. The first one, Princess and the Frog. That's a series that's going to be great to see. I think that's not Pixar itself. That's more Disney as opposed to Pixar. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just need you to know my voice is how it is, because I'm absolutely shattered. And I've got drink here that I'm trying to wake myself up with. So if I get a slipping over my words, my apologies.
The Princess and the Frog. It's been a long week, everybody, okay?
So it's been a very long week. But yeah, we're going to get through this really, really well, because it's Disney. We have to give it its due diligence. Now, the Princess and the Frog, the series that they're putting out, if it's based on the Princess Tiana, which we know it will be, it was a great movie when it came out. It's now going to be turned into a series that we all can watch on Disney. I purposely said I'm going to look at this from a perspective of somebody who hasn't seen the movie, because I remember watching was it Timon and Pumbaa, and when I was younger, and thinking, all right, movies that come series that come from movies by Disney traditionally don't hit as hard. Like Aladdin did that as well. Don't hit as hard as the movies did. But I would like to give it its due diligence and say, if it's as entertaining as the movie, but still its own entity, then for me, I would be really happy to see this on Disney. That's I try to take a little step back and go, all right, let's not compare it to the movies. It is going to be like a long form musical comedy series, which is an interesting take on a Disney series. You normally see the movies have all the great songs in them, but the series itself doesn't tend to have a lot of the music. It's more just the episode by episode stories. But for this, they said it's going to be a much more musical based Disney series. I'm going to take a step back from the movie and go, as a musical person, I want to enjoy it, but I don't know. I don't want to compare it to the movie, if that's a safe bet to do. I don't know if I've worded that correctly.
I think you definitely have. It's sometimes it's unfair to kind of hold these series up next to the movies, because if the movies have been super critically acclaimed and have been produced to be seen in a big kind of cinematic stage, TV series aren't normally going to have. They're not going to be able to hold up to that usually. I mean, in the world of Disney right now, Disney Plus, just looking at things like The Mandalorian, things like that, they've managed to keep the scale quite big, which has been the big shock, I think, with these releases. So fingers crossed, it could mean that when these series do drop, they are of a similar standard. If they've got similar minds behind them, you can put a lot of faith in Disney, because they've not necessarily... I think in recent times, if I remember rightly, they've had things like The Lion Guard, which has been like a TV series spin-off of The Lion King, which I've got a young nephew who quite likes Lion Guard, so I'm assuming that's doing the trick somewhere. When I was a kid, I remember it was the Tarzan animated series. That's what I was all about. I loved that. Yeah. But it still wasn't up to the standard, the level of acclaim that the original Tarzan film was. But it did a job, which is, I think, a lot of these... I'm more excited about these than I would have been of those when I was a kid, if that makes any sense, just because of the standard they've set recently.
There's one I really am excited about, to be fair, because I really enjoyed the movie, and the series was quite enjoyable, is Baymax.
Ooh.
Now, Baymax, for those who don't know, is the big kind of inflatable robot from Big Hero 6. And they did do a spin-off series of Big Hero 6, but when they said they were going to introduce a spin-off completely devoted to Baymax, I was very interested. Mm-hmm. Baymax as a character is one of the highlights of the original movie. It's one of the characters that when you watch the movie stands out purely because of his lovable character, but also just how intricate they designed this character to be, but with such a simple kind of view and so much character and personality within Baymax, even though he looks like just an inflatable character. And I'd like to see what they would do with Baymax, to see if they would explore more of his origins and give him more the spotlight, as opposed to Baymax being another character within a set of heroes. Now, it's similar to like what I said earlier about Groot, when you take a character which is lovable and cute and give them their own kind of side stories. I think it will land really, really well. I really enjoy the movie, and that's another one I like to see. And again, just like you said, I would not want to compare it to the movie. Similarly, like I didn't compare the series to the movie, and the series was actually quite enjoyable when you didn't do that as well.
Well, right. I think in terms of, like we said before, Marvel did a lot of announcements. Star Wars did a decent amount of announcements. Disney, Pixar, and animation, they did a lot.
Yeah, so they're the ones who, yeah, definitely.
I think we'll do a bit of a roll call, and then there's one that I really think we should have a bit more of an unpacking of, because it's just, it sounds so incredible. But for now, we've got Raya and the Last Dragon, which is going to be premiering on March 5th, 2021. Mm. That's going to be on Disney Plus. And hopefully it's going to be in theaters as well. This is all depending on what the world looks like in March 2021. Like you said, we've got that Baymax series. We've got the Zootopia Plus series, which is going to be based on Zootopia. That's going to be hitting the streaming service in spring 2022. So that's going to be a bit off. Yeah, they've got the Tiana and Moana series. Like you said, they're going to be in 2023. Encanto, which is a new movie that's going to be set in Colombia. And wait for it, the music is going to be written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. So that's a big one right there. I've also got, I believe it's Iwaju. Again, if I've completely destroyed that that pronunciation, I'm so sorry. That's going to be an original long-form series made in partnership with Kugali Media. It's going to be premiering on Disney Plus in 2022. And then in terms of the Pixar side of things, it gets even more exciting because you've got a lot of new series which are going to be coming out from Pixar. We've got Spark Shorts, a Spark Shorts episode, which is going to be called Burrow. That's going to arrive on Disney Plus on Christmas Day, 25th of December, along with Soul, which we've been raving about over the last couple of weeks. We're very excited for Soul. That's going to be dropping on Disney Plus on Christmas Day. We've also got Pixar Popcorn, which is a few shorts featuring iconic Pixar characters. That's going to start streaming in January. I'm pretty excited about that. They bring back some of the greats, the heroes, the icons of Pixar. You've got Doug Days, which is a new series featuring the beloved dog, Doug from Up. So remember that dog? He was one of the favored characters in Up. That's going to be in fall 2021. You've got a Cars series, which is going to follow Lightning McQueen and Mater. That's going to be dropping on Disney Plus in 2022. You've got Win or Lose, which is Pixar's first original long-form animated series. That's going to be about a middle school softball team. That's going to be coming to Disney Plus in fall 2023. And when it comes to movies, we've got two ones there, but then the big one we're going to talk about at the end of this. So we've got Luca, which is all set in Italy. It's about a boy named Luca. It's going to hit theaters in June 2021. Then you've got Turning Red, which, yep, this is literally what it's going to be about. It's going to be about a 13-year-old girl going through puberty that transforms into a giant red panda when she gets excited. That's currently in development, so no news on when that's going to be dropping. But my jaw hit the floor when I heard there was a film called Turning Red, which involved.
Yeah, I just realized what Turning Red. Okay, yeah. Pixar are very good at delivering things in a way that's very subtle.
Yeah, I'm just in Pixar we trust. Do you know what I mean? I'm happy for this one.
100%, yeah.
The big Pixar one. You know what's coming, the big announcement.
Lightyear.
All about that Lightyear. No, I mean, you've got to get excited about this. It looks amazing. Buzz Lightyear is going to be voiced by Chris Evans. Captain America himself is going to be voicing Buzz Lightyear in this film, which is hopefully going to be hitting theaters in summer of 2022. It's a Pixar creation, like we said. And it's a film set, right? So here's the breakdown of what the film is. So it's set to follow Buzz Lightyear as he works his way from a young test pilot to the Space Ranger that we know and love now today. And it's a spin-off, and it'll tell the definitive story of the original Buzz Lightyear. So that's the person who become like based on the toy in the toy universe. So it's like an origin story of the legitimate person in the Pixar world that the toy was based on. So it's a different kind of spin-off in the world of Pixar, because it's not necessarily to do with the kind of straight up toy side of the universe. It is like a legitimate, if you can call it that, like the legitimate side of it.
It's a great direction to go for a spin-off. I mean, to give the toys backstory is a bit more difficult without without going to where the toys came from. So the backstories that we've been getting from Toy Stories are who owned the toy first, what shop did they come from. To come out of that and go, let's give Lightyear a backstory. We've had a little bit of that within Toy Story 2 and 3, particularly with the backstory of maybe Woody. You'd see how Woody became who Woody is by the TV program, but they only did that for a short while with, is it Stinky Pete and with Jesse? And I forget the donkey's name.
Bullseye.
Bullseye, that's it, yeah. So with those characters, you saw maybe a little backstory with them. With Buzz in the first year, you only saw a TV advert. And Buzz is a character where, if you were to look into his backstory, where the creation of the toy came from, you would have a massive universe of exploration, of action, of sci-fi to go to. And it only made sense that if they were going to expand on Toy Story, because they couldn't do a Toy Story 5 after how emotional the last one was and just the big send-off that they had. If you're going to expand on that universe, this is a great way to do it, where you don't make it about the toys, but where the toys initially have come from, the characters. And having Chris Evans as Buzz Lightyear, initially, I'll be very honest, because I didn't want a voice recast. I wanted Tim Allen there. Because it's Tim Allen as Buzz. I've had him for four movies since 1995, and all the little shorts and side things that he's done as well as the voice of Buzz Lightyear. But Chris Evans, I reckon, in this will still be great. Chris Evans can't do wrong by me. I say that Fantastic Four, the second one, but that wasn't his fault. He can't do wrong by me. I think as well, because the character of him is more... it would have to be more realistic. They say they're going to go for a darker origin movie. Tim Allen's voice is quite caricature as Buzz Lightyear. If they're going to make a more dark origin movie based on Buzz Lightyear, going with someone who's as experienced as playing these kind of action-based characters, even if it's voice only, makes sense to me. And I'm really excited to see where they go with this. And I think that they can really let go of the reins. It's kind of like what they did when they went from kind of Toy Story and A Bug's Life and said, we're going to go to The Incredibles. It's that jump of action and just explosive, just kind of explosive animation on screen that's really going to stand out. And we're talking 2022, when their ability to animate compared to their 1995 Toy Story ability to animate is just gone so much further beyond you could ever imagine. It's going to be a very, very good and beautiful film, just based on knowing how Toy Story are when it comes to creating great stories with great animation. I'm looking forward to it totally. I can get over the Tim Allen's not going to be the voice again, because I get the reasons why, but I'm definitely looking forward to everything else around this too. What about you?
I'm likewise. I'm so excited about this. The Tim Allen thing is what it is. I love my boy Chris Evans, so I'm not too upset about that. But if it's in the same vein as, let's say, there was a Buzz Lightyear of Star Command show years ago. I think it was on like a Disney Channel or something like that. I used to love as a kid.
Yeah.
And if it's in that similar vein where it's like actually following the stories of this legit Buzz Lightyear, but it's the younger one, I think there's a lot of potential in it. And it is, yeah, it's going to be dropping June 2022. And the director of this film is, of course, be excited as well, because the director is the co-director of Finding Dory. That's Angus McLain. Obviously, if you saw Finding Dory, decent film in its own right. Had to kind of grow on Finding Nemo, had to kind of expand on that universe and go in a slightly different direction. So if that's what they're going to be doing again here with Lightyear, I think it's in pretty safe hands again. You kind of trust Disney when it comes to directing, handing over the reins to specific directors, because they tend to know what they're doing. They tend to work out these sequels. Apart from like the Cars universe, I don't think they've had a prequel or a sequel that's been unwatchable by any means. They tend to knock them out of the park. So...
Two wasn't the best.
Which one was this? Which
car? You said Cars 2.
Yeah, I'm saying Cars 2 was not good. Yeah,
it was dire. Three actually was okay, but two, my God, 2 was so bad.
Yeah, I didn't Cars 3. I think the Cars universe is the only time they maybe crapped the bed, let's say.
Just a little bit.
But they make money. They make money, so they're going to keep doing it. There'll be some kids out there who love Cars, so I'm not going to crap all over it, because, they must be doing something right. But in terms of what I like, Cars was not it for now. But
I got a question for you, actually. You mentioned it totally skipped my mind that Star Command was like one of the Buzz stories, because I never watched Star Command.
Oh, dude. I know.
It was it really that good? Because I was in secondary school at the time, and at that time it's I've grown out of these things and so on when it came out, and I never really watched it. So I don't know if I've missed a lot with Star Command in terms of his origin stories as such. Was it really good?
It was entertaining. It hit me at a good age, because it hit me when I was like, I don't want to show my age here, but it hit me when I was like 7.
Okay, you show my age, because I'm older than you. All right. I would have been in secondary.
I'm sorry. I think I was the target audience. But I loved it. It was
fair enough.
It just showed, like, I believe, if I remember rightly, it was him like taking a few rookies under his wing and like just going on missions, and it was all to do with Zurg. I think we might see the Emperor Zurg in this prequel as well, which would be really cool, and which, as we know, Emperor Zurg is Bruce Lightyear, the Golden Man. Buzz Lightyear's father. Bruce Lightyear, the big shark in space, Bruce. So that's, I think we've got every reason to be excited about this. And there's so many, honestly, like, if I had it my way, we'd be here now for the next 10 hours talking about all this stuff. But sadly, we've not got much time left. So let us know if you've got anything else you want to talk about in terms of these announcements. What films, what series you're super excited about. Like, follow us on Twitter at gmorgan04 for myself. Where can you find you, Ori?
At Ori Styler, A-U-R-I-E-S-T-Y-L-A, all one word.
And follow everyone here at What Culture at What Culture on Twitter, and go on whatculture.com. Click on all of our incredible articles that we've got there. I've got loads of stuff to do with these announcements on there as well. A lot of things that you need to know about these upcoming series, like the Obi-Wan Kenobi series and other things like that. Let us know what you think we should maybe cover in the future when it comes to this kind of podcast. It's very relaxed. We just like to talk about all things movie fun and TV at this stage. And yeah, just have the best Christmas, because it's looking like we're not going to be necessarily back here again until after Christmas. I'm disappearing for a little bit. So we're not going to see you until 2021. So in the meantime, look after yourselves. Stay strong. 2020 is almost at an end. We made it. We did really well. It's been a heck of a year. And hopefully the next one will bring loads of fun and movie goodness.
Definitely. See you later. Take care, guys. I am Groot.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.